It's like, we're getting old. I tell you, I love church planters. I've planted a bunch of churches, and I love church planters. And, you know, they don't get enough kudos, but it's tough work getting in there and plowing the new ground and when nobody's been out there. Who's been here for the 9 years? Yeah? Been here? Everybody, put your hands together for the lifers. Put your hands together. They've been here for that whole time, you know. And what's your name? You were leading the meeting. What's your name?
Gemma.
Fantastic, Gemma. God bless you. What a great spirit and great heart, you know. And you're a person that you just want to do things right for God. You pay attention to things. You want to do it right. You're serious about it. And you're committed to it. You know what I mean? And you got that sort of spirit and that sort of heart. And sometimes you get down on yourself when you don't do it right. But God's not down on you. God loves you. God sees it, you know, and it's fantastic, you know. I just get a real sense of that as I was there. So it's good to be with you. I love the joy and the enthusiasm, and on a cold day, what's better than stamping your feet and clapping your hands? There's nothing better. Love the enthusiasm. And some places you go to, you know, there are some churches, and I don't say it often, I might say it two or three times in a year, but if I lived somewhere near here, I would come to this church. It's a good church. Good people, good spirit, good heart, you know. The problem is I'm in different churches every weekend. So next weekend, I think I'm in three different churches, you know. And but occasionally I find one where I think, be good to be here. I think there's a bit of joy here, yeah? It's a bit of joy here. Joy's a good thing. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is not the stuff we touch. It's not the stuff, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. You know, joy. You'd expect the kingdom of God to be something good, wouldn't you? You'd expect the, because it's where God reigns, and joy is something that I see is connected to the kingdom of heaven again and again. One of the theses I did in my master's was looking at what was his main message, and when we come right down to it, his main message was about kingdoms. It was about the kingdom of God and superseding the kingdoms of men and undoing the kingdom of darkness. But it was about the kingdom, and you know, Jesus tried to teach us about the kingdom, this thing that the world had not seen and had no understanding of, and he used parables to teach us. You know, he used simple life messages to teach us about things that were complex and that we maybe needed to get a handle on. And over 90% of the parables that Jesus taught us were about the kingdom of God. And when you read them, you'll see that there's a constant, even within the constant of the kingdom of God. And the constant that I see there is joy. And it's not just acquired satisfaction, that's a part of it, but it's an excitable joy. The parable of the treasure in the field. And in his joy, he went and sold everything else he had because, well, I found the treasure, you know. The man who found the pearl of greatest price, the thing he'd been looking for everywhere. It says, in his joy also, he sold everything else he had to then, you know, buy that and get that. He sold everything else. When the lost sheep was found, there was joy. When the lost coins were found, there was joy. When the lost son came home, there was joy. When the widow that had been knocking on the door, when her prayer was answered, there was joy. It's just a part of the constant of the kingdom of heaven. Now, sometimes in this world, we have sorrow, but the kingdom of heaven intrudes and promises joy. You know, we read about the parable of the talents, you know, when the master, the rich man, said, I'm going away for a while. And of course, he is a type of Jesus who came and then said he's going away for a while. And he left assets and attributes to his workers. And to one, he gave five, and another two, another one. And he said, now do the business of the kingdom. Do the work of the kingdom while I'm away and increase it, so that when I come back, I might have joy in what you've done. So then one day he comes back, and you know the story, if you've been in church for any time at all, that the one who'd been given the five, he came and said, I got the five, but I got another five. Yeah. And the one came with the two, I got the two, and guess what? I got another two. Yeah. And we're not going to talk about the other one today. No joy in the third one. And we read in Matthew 25, 21, 22, to the guy with the five and the guy with the two that came and bought the others, the master said, enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. What he's saying there is, because the master is full of joy at what he's seen that you've done, I want you to share in the joy. I want you to share in the joy. You know, whether it's at work or wherever it might be, if you've done a great job and somebody is pleased with it, then there's a reward that comes with it. Now, if they're a cheapskate, it might just be a pat on the back, but it could be a bonus or it could be a promotion or something, yeah? You know, when you've done a good job and you might be a young person around the home and you've done a good job for mom or dad or whatever it might be in a situation, you get a pat on the back, you get the thumbs up, you get a little bit extra pocket money, you get to stay up later, whatever, but there's a reward. When somebody feels like you've done a great job, then there's a reward. Now, I love being rewarded. And I love giving rewards. True? I do. I love it. And so joy begets joy. It just goes around like that, you know, in the circle of the whole thing. And, you know, God is no different. We talk a lot about the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. I thank God for the grace of God and the unmerited favor of God, where there's not a thing that we deserve at all from His hand, but He has decided in His grace to give us eternal life if we have faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But God also is someone who loves to reward a job well done. He's someone who is looking to reward. He wants to do that and in life because, you know, He's the one who shows us how to do it. And so I know that a lot of times we read or people say, well, you just ought to serve God because He's God, you know, like, yes, boss, you know, type thing. Just because He's God and you serve Him. Well, look, we understand that He is God and we are His servants. We understand that. But in the relationship that we have, it's not all about Him trying to throw His weight around. He is looking for us to do something, produce something that He can have joy in and that He can reward us for. He's looking to do that. Now, I understand there's the grace, that there's the gift of life that God gives to us, but there are also the rewards of life. So there's the gift of life that He gives to us in grace for eternity, but there are rewards for life that comes out of His joy and produces joy for us. So the gift of eternal life is unmerited. It's the free gift. We can't work for it, lest any man should try to shine his own medals. You know, we just can't do that. It comes from Him. And there's a great day coming because of the gift of life when we go to meet the Lord, when He comes or we go, you know, whatever it might be. But one day, you know, that gift will be culminated. And we read in the book of Revelation there that it's going to be a day of great joy, where the gift of God, the gift of eternal life, will come to its fruition when we stand before Him one day. When we walk upon the new earth and we enter into the new Jerusalem and we are a part of that great day. The Bible says there'll be no more pain. And if there's going to be no more pain, what's going to be? Joy. If there's no pain, joy. Because there's going to be health, and good health gives you joy. If there's going to be no more death, then there's going to be life. And if there's no more death, there's going to be joy. If there's going to be no more sorrow, then there's going to be no more crying, and there's going to be joy. And so the Scripture teaches us, because of the gift of God, kingdom of God to us, will bring us great joy. But I need to say that there's more that sometimes we don't talk about, and I think it's good if we get it into our spirit. There's more. God also rewards us on merit. Jesus counseled us in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He said, don't just make it all about treasures on this earth that are going to pass away, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Now, we know that we can't buy our way into heaven. It's the gift of God. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the treasure that we will find as rewards in heaven when we get there. It's not just getting there, but it's what we will find there when we get there that God wants to reward us with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. There are degrees of rewards in the afterlife. I am looking forward to that. If when Jesus came the first time, it was Christmas, imagine what it's going to be when he returns the second time. All our Christmases are going to come at once. It'll be that last time. I know that when I was a kid and we used to have Christmas tree putting up night, which was the 1st of December, we'd put the tree up, we'd put all the decorations on, have a great meal, whatever. It was in anticipation of Christmas Eve. Because being European, Christmas Eve was when the presents were opened. And so that day was an anticipation of the day to come. And the presents, Mum and Dad would put the presents under the tree. Now, boxes were boring, because who can tell what's in a box, right? Unless they're really big, then they weren't too boring, you know. But I remember when I was a boy back then, just about everybody owned a rifle. And I remember the first air rifle, and you can't hide the shape of an air rifle when they wrapped it up, you know, sort of thing, you know. It was under there, but you could tell. Now, I tell you what. I was joyful all that month because I knew what was coming. My Christmas was coming, you know. I was looking forward to the reward on Christmas Eve there that I was going to get, you know, because I knew that I was not on the naughty list, I was on the good list. So I was going to get that reward, you know, sort of thing, because it was a gift, but it was in reward for doing all those jobs that kids used to do around the house, you know. I don't know if they do them anymore today, you know, but... And I remember one day when my oldest son came to me and said, Dad, I don't want to mow the lawn anymore. Because, you know, everybody did jobs. I don't want to mow the lawn anymore. I said, you don't have to mow lawns anymore. He said, what? I said, well, you know, family mows lawns. Boarders don't mow lawns. But boarders pay board. And with your board, I'll pay someone to mow lawns. I said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be family. I said, great, mow the lawn. So God is looking forward to giving us a reward. When that rifle was laying on there and I was looking at it, my dad, he was just so joyful himself because he could see my anticipation and he could see how joyful I was. And he was just joyful that he was going to get it to me. I wanted to open it before the day, and I reckon he wanted to open it before the day just so the joy of the thing could be had. You know what I mean, you know? God's the same. Wanting to look forward to that day of rewarding us. Now, you know, perhaps today, just like it was in the day when the Bible was being written, probably the greatest reward still that we think about today would be the reward of an Olympic athlete. You know, that probably is still the height of sport and award to be an Olympian, you know what I mean, to receive that. And when they go up to the... you know, they stand on the dais there and they get the medal put around their neck and so forth. And it's a picture that the Bible used because the ancient Olympics started in 776 BC. So when the Bible was being written, it took that as a picture at the same time about people being rewarded for running the race of life, people being rewarded for the achievements that they had in life. And the Bible says, and this place where the athletes in the ancient games were rewarded was called the Bema Seat. It was where the judges for the Olympics would give out the rewards. You know, it's called the Bema Seat. It was where the judges stood there. And the Bible says that every one of us believers will stand before the judgment seat, the Bema Seat, of Christ one day. Not for condemnation, thank God, but for reward one day, standing in that place, which is fantastic. Revelation 22, 12, look, I'm coming soon, Jesus said, and my reward is with me to pay each one according to what he's done. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ, so that each one may be paid back according to what he's done while he's in the body, whether good or evil. Now, Jesus, in the book of Revelation, we see him there in a couple of places. We see John trying to represent Jesus, how he sees him. And one of the things he sees about Jesus is that he has eyes of fire, that like eyes of flame. And that just speaks about the fact that Jesus can just see through all pretense. Jesus can just see through everything that's just sham. Jesus can see things that are true and honest. And the Bible tells us that one day, 1 Corinthians 4:5, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things and reveal the motives of every heart. And then each of us will receive recognition from God. Praise God. Because all the superficial and superfluous stuff will be burned away when Jesus looks at our life, and only the things that have eternal value and only the things that heaven treasures and only the things that really matter will be left. And the Bible gives us this picture in 1 Corinthians 3:13, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done, what each builder has done. We're not talking about the unsaved, we're talking about the saved, those who build kingdom, yeah? You know, what each builder has done, built on the foundation of Christ, the fire will show if a person's work has any value at all. Wow. And in fact, it gives us the picture that says on the foundation of Christ, we can build with different kinds of material. We can build with wood, hay, and stubble, or with gold and silver and precious stones. The things that heaven values, the things that earth values. And when Jesus comes and we stand before that throne, all of the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned away, and whatever else is left is what our life will be rewarded on. If nothing is left, the Bible says, we'll still get into heaven like we're smelling of smoke, but there's nothing to show for it. So every one of us who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior will hear welcome, but not everyone will hear well done. That's why it's important that we consider this in life. Because if we're not paying into our super now, how will we have super when we retire? It's a reality. And sometimes I think we just need to see that. See, making money without using it to provide and give to others is just stubble. Spending time focused on only on ourselves is straw. Engaged with all sorts of activity but no time for the kingdom, that's just wood. That's just going to be burned away. But the silver and the gold and the precious stones, you know, they're just little things. A pile of wood's a big thing, but it doesn't mean much in eternity. But a precious stone or a little nugget or something, that has value. These are little things. When the widow brought her two little mites, her little bit of money there, and threw it in the offering, Jesus went, whoa, look at that. That's a treasure. It wasn't in the amount of money, it was in her heart and what she did. Just a little thing, but it was a nugget. And at the end of the day, when Jesus comes back and he's judging people's lives, and he says, you can enter into joy, you can enter into joy because you gave a glass of water to the thirsty, you gave a meal to the hungry, you gave a kind word to the lonely, that's what you did, just little things. But in the economy of heaven, they're gems and nuggets that when Jesus looks at our life, they'll remain. They're the things that he will reward us on. It doesn't have to be the huge things all the time. It doesn't have to be planting a great church, but that has a reward. Praise God. And so the scripture teaches us this. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work which he has built upon the foundation of Christ remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so through fire. The amazing thing here is you can win and lose in heaven. You get the welcome, but I want the well done. I don't want to live a life for however many years God gives us, and I got nothing eternal to show for it. What a waste of a life. I want a rewarding life. I want to hear the well done. I want to know at the end of the day when he's looked at me, it's just not all been wood, hay, and stubble, but there's something of eternal value that remains for the years that I've lived in this life. Are you with me? It's where I want to be. And I encourage you to consider that every day. I praise God, heaven awaits. But I would be mortified if there was nothing to show for a whole life. I know that I don't have to face fearful judgment, but 1 John 2:28 tells me I could face embarrassment. That's not where I want to be. Now, salvation is free and it's God's gift, but he recognizes good and faithful work. Amen? That's what he does because that's his nature. That's what he does. Jesus, Paul, and the other writers of the scriptures tell us we'll be saved by his work. We'll be saved by his work and we'll know joy, but we'll be rewarded for our work. Saved by his work, but rewarded for our work. And that's a part of the joy. So then Jesus says, enter into the joy of your master. Well done. Well done. I wonder what Jesus' laugh will sound like. I wonder what his laugh will sound like. I think it'll ring through heaven. I think it'll lift every heart. I think everybody will laugh with it. I just wonder, just to hear his laugh and his joy over my life and what's been done in my life, that would just be fantastic. So the Bible is full of the symbols of rewards because it's the heart of God to reward. And the Bible puts most of the symbols of reward into what are called the incorruptible crowns that the Bible talks about. You know, but the incorruptible crowns are symbols of honor, symbols of position, symbols of reward, and symbols of applause, and symbols of recognition. That's what they are. I don't know what they're really going to be, but I think they're going to be fantastic. It's going to be some kind of bling, I tell you. Just like the Olympians when they stand there at the dais and it's ready to receive the reward for all that they've done. The joy of being recognized as an overcomer, the joy of realizing it was worth all the effort, the joy of having pleased the Lord, the joy of him saying, well done in our lives, the joy of seeing people there who we have helped into eternity, the joy of seeing those who we have opened the door for serving God, getting their rewards. You know, one of the reasons I love Christmas now and other times is not that I get my hankies and my socks and jocks, but the joy when my grandchildren open their presents, you know what I mean, you know? It's the joy of the other people. I know pastors think this way, you know, we'll hear well done and we look forward to that day, but I think, and Pastor Calvin as well, we're going to be more chuffed when Jesus says well done to you guys, you know? That's just fantastic. We were able to be a part of a community and engage with life in the Spirit of God in such a way that we engaged and gave our talents and time and the glass of water and the word of encouragement and the finances and whatever it might be that Jesus can say, well done, and we can all be there in that place and hearing it happen. And it's the joy of a life well lived, and I look forward to it. The Bible talks about the fact that there's going to be a crown of life in James 1:12. It says, whoever endures testing and whose love is proved to be genuine, they will receive the crown of life. when he comes again. There's going to be the crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for those who have brought other people into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, those who have brought others to know him, to know salvation, will receive the crown of rejoicing for that. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that those who bring people to the faith will shine as lights one day. And I like to think that that's the jewels in the crown that are sparkling away there, you know, because of the people who we've bought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You get the crown of rejoicing. The Bible says that there's a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8. The people who have done the hard yards of living righteously, the people who have said no to the pornography on the net, the people who have said no to a critical spirit and unforgiveness, the people who didn't bend to the world's standards but kept upright in the things that God wants us to live in. There's a reward for those things. There's the crown of glory, the Bible says. And this is for those who have served faithfully, for people who have ministries and who are ministers and they've served faithfully. The musos who got out of bed this morning on a cold morning, came into a cold and dark building, and you know, who through the week were already engaged with trying to pick the songs that will lift our spirits and worship God, and then come and practice and so forth. You know, there's a reward. It's not just us engaging today with them and therefore rewarding them for the effort, but there's a reward that's going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reward for service, and there's a reward for ministers. In fact, you are the crown and joy for your pastor already before him. You are the crown. You are the diamonds in his crown, the Bible tells us, when he stands before the Lord one day. There's going to be rewards for acts of compassion. There's going to be rewards of lives of prayer. Your father, who will see you in private, will reward you in public one day because you've been praying through for somebody. You've been upholding somebody. You've been standing up for somebody with him in prayer. There's a reward that will come one day in heaven, and a joy that comes with that. There's going to be rewards of selfless service to friends and enemy alike. There's going to be rewards for lives of quality service. Not just anything goes, but this is for God and I'm going to give it quality. God sees that. I remember once there was a lady in our church, and some years went by that she was in our church, and one day she said to me, you know, this church has really looked after me. And I said, that's great, because she had a tough journey in life. I said, it's fantastic. She said, yeah, but I remember one day when I was new, this lady came to the door, and she knocked on the door, and she had a casserole dish because I was sick, and she knocked on the door and she said, I was told to deliver this to you. I didn't really have the time, but they told me to deliver it to you. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it. And off she went. Not sure that that went into the book for her. The casserole was delivered, but I'm not sure there's a reward coming for that. You know what I mean? It's how we deliver, you know. So when life becomes difficult, friends, it's helpful for us to remember that there's another life and that there are rewards that are coming. It's helpful to us. I'm persuaded that we will never be of much use in this life until we have developed a healthy obsession with the life that is to come. Until we understand one day, see, that there is joy coming. If there's not much joy in your day-to-day, there is joy coming. There is a day coming when everything that we put in, that we put into our family, that we put into our marriages, that we put in, even if there's not much joy right now, there's a day coming because we prayed for the kids, because we returned a good word in a bad situation, because we were prepared to go the other mile. The other mile reward is still coming. The coat as well as the shirt is still coming. And we limit it too much if we always think in a commercial way that it's got to be in this life. Now, God gives us things in this life, but friends, the height of it's going to come in the life that is yet to come. And I think we just need to remember that, because this life is just like a dot on the wall. This life, even though it might be 80 or something years old, it's just a dot compared to eternity. And we worry so much about what happens in the dot, but don't think about the vastness of eternity. But while we're in the life, in the dot, in just the little bit of life on this earth that is a part of our eternity, let's invest treasure to lay it up there for that day which is coming, so we can know the fullness of joy that we will have one day when we are with Him. Let's live in the understanding of that. Let's have a healthy obsession with the next life that is coming. You know, when we understand that we have one life to invest into an eternity of rewards, it will transform our value systems. It will transform our value systems. Maybe we'll work a few less hours so that we can invest into people a little bit more. Maybe we'll get rid of some things out of our life so the things that really matter can come into our life. Maybe we'll stop in the busyness of what we're doing to give that word and to give that hand and whatever it might be, knowing that maybe we're undone in this life because there are things that maybe we can't get and can't have, but knowing that we're laying up treasure which is in heaven, to employ our assets, our abilities, our time, our finances, our strength, and our knowledge to lay up that treasure which is in heaven. Because, you know, if there's no joy in this life, understand, live with the expectation of better days, both in this life, but certainly in the life that is to come. I remember, I'm 5 years older than my younger brother. I remember the day he came to high school and I was showing him around, and we were going around a corner and he tripped and fell, hit his head against a wall and was bleeding a little bit. And one of the teachers came around the corner and thought that I had pushed over this little kid. And he was not going to listen to anything I was trying to tell him. Even my brother was trying to tell him. So, but off to the headmasters, get the strap, you know, and get detention and have to pick up the rubbish around and the unrighteousness that nobody would listen to your story. And you got to stand there and get the strap, mongrel, and you know, all that sort of thing. And then picking up other people's rubbish. But, you know, I had a smile on my face. I remember I had a smile on my face. And it wasn't because something was wrong in my head. I had a smile on my face because my dad had promised to take me to the zoo on the Saturday. And it didn't matter what happened on the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, or the Friday. It didn't matter because I was going to the zoo with my dad on Saturday. And it doesn't matter what happens in the day. I can have a smile on my face because the joy of a day that is coming, there's a joyful day coming when my father is going to give me the rewards that are laid up, you know, in heaven one day. Not just the joy of getting to heaven. That's joy in itself. But the joy of what I can expect when I get there. And it doesn't matter what happens in life, as long as we're getting it, and because we're righteous still, you know, and not because we're unrighteous, but living righteously. And it doesn't matter what happens in life, but the joy that is coming. And I think that in our life, if we could just have that attitude and say, today, how can I lay up treasure in heaven? I'm not talking in a commercial way. I'm talking for the joyful way. You know, I'm not talking about laying up, you know, something here so we get something bigger, but for the joy of that day which is coming. Life is so short. Life really, in the sense of eternity, is meaningless. But Jesus said it. He said, lay up for yourself treasure which is in heaven, because everything on this earth will pass away. But everything you lay up over there, it'll be waiting for you. What can I do today? Who can I encourage? Who can I phone up? Who can I give a word of peace to? Who can I give a word of encouragement to? When I'm doing something and it seems like it's tough and nobody else is seeing me do it and nobody else is doing it, but I'm doing it, God sees it, and what he sees in private, he will reward in public on that day, one day, because he has a heart to reward. When we think about, I don't have a lot of money, give what you can, because it's good to give. It's better to give than it is to keep, you know. And so when you feel you have reasons not to forgive somebody, forgive them anyway. There's millions of people who are finding reasons not to forgive. God pays no attention to it, but he sees the sparks of people who have been wrong, who will still forgive other people, and he sees it as treasure. He sees it as something to be valued. And so every day, Live with the consciousness of eternity. Live with the awareness of the day that is coming. You know, as you get older, I'm in my 65th year. My granddaughter turned 18 2 weeks ago. But as you get older, you think about, okay, have I laid up enough super? Will this part of the pension be enough, you know? Because I'm not going to be a self-funded retiree. I've been a pastor. Yeah. But you begin to think about the next stage, yeah, you know, in the natural. But whether you're young or you're old, think about the joy that is to come. Think about that day and all of eternity that you can walk with whatever the crowns are that God has for you. Hear welcome, but hear well done as well. All of us live in the grace of welcome, but let's live in the reward of well done on that day when he returns. Will you stand with me?